ahead, Sister Sue.
Just to worship him, and just so thankful that I have this place to come to where the word is true and I get what I need here, you know, for my soul to be filled. And that's, I just can't live without it, and I don't want to go anywhere else. And I just praise God for this guidance and this true word. And I just thank God I can come.
Amen, amen, amen.
You know, I was thinking, all choked up here. I was thinking when singing that song, or you know, that scripture, the truth. You shall know the truth, and truth will set you free.
Yeah.
You know, when you know what truth is,
yeah,
you don't fall for lies.
No, not at all.
You just smile and keep walking.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, I've had people lie to me.
Oh, yeah.
Know they're lying to me. I know they're lying to me, and they still lie to me.
Yeah.
You know, trying to sell that lie. But when you know the truth,
amen.
It truly sets you free. Appreciate this word.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect word, perfect truth.
Yes, what a truth.
What an hour.
Well.
What an
hour. There you go. Well,
guys. It's a worship service, not just a song service.
You know what? Amen. I came here expecting.
Amen. Yeah.
Nothing more, nothing less. I just know that God's going to talk to me.
Yes.
I came expecting.
Amen.
You know, God's not going to disappoint me.
No.
He never has.
You know, I'm a son of God.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, I stand on that.
That's right.
And I, anything I ask of God, I ask in confidence, knowing who I am.
Absolutely.
You know, so if I want God to talk to me tonight, I just boldly approach the throne.
Amen.
And I'm saying, God, speak to me.
Right.
You know, whether it's a word of encouragement.
Right.
Or a word of rebuke.
Whatever.
Whatever it is,
whatever
I know
Lord.
You're talking to me. And that's my sign that you still love me.
Amen.
And I'll accept it. Because it's the truth. And, you know, I just ask myself, you know, when I get rebuked, and I get rebuked often, which is a good sign.
Amen.
It's a good sign. If you look
that
at it right,
a good sign.
It's a good sign.
Yes. But,
and so I ask myself, you know, at first I might deny it. I might want to try and wiggle around it. But then I ask myself, is it true?
Is it truth?
Amen.
Amen.
If the shoe fits, wear it.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
It's that
we
simple. Just die. That's all you got to just die to yourself.
Amen.
Die to your thinking.
There you go.
Thank God,
right.
God that he chose to speak to you.
Amen. Right.
He comes like we were just talking about. I'm hearing from my theophany.
Right.
You know, I've got representation. I thank God for that.
Right.
Because
right.
without that, you know, I'd just be guessing.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I'd be floundering. You know, I just thank God that I am not like one of these people out there that all they have is their own thinking and their own wits to get through this world. This world is crazy.
Right.
And, you know, I just know that I've got something tangible that I can lean on. I know I've got the word.
Right.
You know, if I need something, I could talk to anybody in here and get that.
Right.
And you know, that's the secret to overcoming.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
That is not out there.
That's right.
So if you recognize where God is,
amen.
Boy, you got the battle. You got the battle won. All you got to do is just walk up and talk.
Amen.
That's it. It's that simple.
It is simple.
And, you know, I just thank God for that revelation.
Right.
We are a strong group. I don't care what anybody says. We got this. We got this, Brother Moore. You know, I am just waiting for that final revelation to get out of here.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. Until then, I just keep coming back and keep coming back and hearing word and just building on my faith. I come here expecting to build my faith.
Right.
I come expecting that one day I'll get that final revelation and I'm going to walk myself out of here.
Amen.
Along with my brothers and sisters here. I have no doubt about that here. I just thank God that I'm just a part of this body. We're such a special group.
We are.
Amen.
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 I wanted to thank God as well. You know, not only do I want to thank God for the revelation, but I want to thank God for that man. You know, and I appreciate a man with big shoulders because I'm constantly laying it on him, laying it on him, laying it on him. And he's got a strong back.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful for that. And I appreciate a man that can constantly tell me to look up. Amen. You know, and I'm, because I'm always, I shouldn't say always, frequently, I tend to see the negative things, you know, right. Even with this building that we have, I'm like, nope, God's nope, God. Nope, and nope. And he's like, look up, stop looking God's down, God. Look up. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you, Lord.
Right.
Amen. You know, I appreciate him constantly leading me to the positive Amen. Things and constantly reminding me of who I am and how That's I can right. create my worlds and step out
right.
on them. You know, Amen. And I'm just so thankful of that. And I was sitting there, I was listening to something on the radio, and you know, they're even talking about how, you know what, you bring about what you speak about,
right,
you know,
right.
and how, like, and even right. like your the music that right. you listen to shapes you, you know. And I was sitting there thinking, I was like, you know what, you're right. So I'm even trying to, like, make sure, like, and I appreciate even in James, in that way he creates that atmosphere
right.
so that we're constantly speaking about what we want to bring about,
right.
you know,
Amen.
And creating the atmosphere that we want in our home. And I just thank you, and I just appreciate
Amen.
You because you're a good man.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Nothing greater. What?
I just wanted to just say how much I appreciate this place, just because of how God, you know, does things. And thank you. Oh, right on. You know, I just want to thank him in advance, because he's just done so much. I could stand all here all night and talk about all the things he's done, but one thing I'm really grateful for is how he's just put his hedge of protection and just watching over my son and doing things through my son in school. You know, he shared some things with me on the first day of school, like he kind of was getting teased and kind of like messed with and stuff in school, and somebody kind of punked him out of his seat, you know. So he got up and just, you know, got out of the seat and just, you know, kept at peace. I would have knocked the kid out if I was that age. I was a loose cannon, you know. I didn't have this message. And I'm so thankful because God let me raise my kids in this message. I wasn't raised in this. I had to fight for this. I never even really knew what I was fighting for, but I made it here. He brought me here. I didn't even know what I was following. Maybe a desire, a girl, or whatever, business, whatever. But I got here. And I was even here for 6 years before I even came to through these doors here. So I'm just grateful that he decided to include me as somebody that's part of the conversation. And I just want to lift up Brother John, because he's been battling and stuff, you know. And I just, you know, he's been working with me and stuff, and we've been doing a lot together. And, you know, I'm just grateful for a brother that understands me, because, you know, we're both from Hawaii. So it's like sometimes I'll break out some terms and none of y'all will probably pick it up, but John will. So I'm just so grateful that there's somebody that's got the almost kind of like the same kind of makeup and stuff that'll just walk with me through stuff. But I just not only want to lift him up, I want to lift up this body, everybody right. that's in here tonight. You know, I want to thank you for making it
right.
because, you know,
Amen.
You made it. No matter what you had to push through, no matter what you had to lay down, you still made it.
Amen.
You know, you're here one more time to hear what God has to say. And that's the most important thing of all of creation. He don't care about nothing else but you just right. being here and sitting at his feet and just Amen. Listening to him. Just listen to him. And I don't know. I don't know what else to say, but I'm just grateful to be here. But I do want to sing a song. I don't know if we got some time, but can I get a seat? If I ask for things that I should not ask for, if I pray for a thing selfishly, if I ask for myself and not for my neighbor, take this veil from my eyes and let me see. Not my will, but thine be done. Pray, Jesus, may this say mine every day. guide my steps, hold my hand all the way. When my pathway is dark and my heart gets so weary, if I seek for an easier way, if I worry because my load gets too heavy, make me willing to walk in thy way. Not my will, but thine be done. Pray, Jesus, may this same prayer be mine every day. When this robe of flesh that I wear may falter, guide my steps, hold my hand all the way. Guide my steps, hold my hand all the way. Bless you.
I'm excited to be here. You know, I was thinking, you talk about our message, it's positive.
Right.
You know, we always have a positive answer for everything. You know, and when you don't have a positive, there's someone around you that has a positive. You know, sometimes God makes people differently. You know, and I love that. There's a balance on it all. And my daughter asked me the other day, she said, how do we know what we believe is the truth? And I was like, well, that's easy. It all runs. You have the answer, and then there's that feeling inside of you. Right. And I was like, but at the same time, it's like trying to explain to someone who's never had bubblegum what bubblegum is. Right. If you've tasted bubblegum, you know what it tastes like. But if you haven't, I'm sorry, I can't explain it to you.
Yeah,
you know, every time that, you know, God comes forth and he speaks to us, he speaks to every one of us differently. He has an answer for every one of us.
Yes.
And I was talking to my sister, because she was asking some questions. I was like, well, you know what? Everybody's walk is different.
True,
you know, God tells you things.
Yes.
And I just love that, because that is supernatural.
Right?
Yes. You know, that's it's just amazing to me. I get excited. And, you know, Jeremiah couldn't make it. He's at a work thing. And I was like, sucks to be you. You know, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be able to praise God. You know, that's all I'm here for. And, you know, I'm thankful for my husband, for the way that the body works. It goes down, you know, trickle effect. I'm blessed, you know?
Yes.
And I don't ever want to, like, not take the opportunity to say thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, now. Well, thank you. I wanted to say a couple things that I saw this week that I experienced this week. Maybe it'll bless you.
Yeah.
It will bless you. First of all, I want to throw some flowers to this body of believers.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Brother Steve got up Sunday night. Oh, my goodness. And just in a simple way, he's a farmer. He explained what happened through those ages. Like, he's not a preacher. But where's that voice coming from? From the body. Another thing that blessed me. Sunday morning, Brother Mike Prater got up. And oh, my goodness. The words of power and strength that are not coming from the preacher, not coming from the past, from the body of Christ. We are a powerful people.
Right.
Then I want to thank God for my husband, who is a pastor, who is the pastor.
Yeah.
That man is amazing.
Yes.
And here's something I learned this week. You know, things happen. So he asked me to do something, right? He said, get another sister and go take this brother to the airport. Oh, what did I say? I said, watch how quick you're thinking in there. Oh, I don't need anybody else. I can do it. I can do it. And then I backed up. Something inside of me said, back up. and back up. Why don't you try doing what you're told to do? Why don't you just try that? Don't overthink it.
Right.
Do you know when, okay, either God is in flesh or he's not. And when he speaks, you're either going to obey it or you're not. And so I sat there at the table, we talking about dinner. So if he says something to me and I do, and my answer is anything besides, yes, Lord, it's wrong.
Right.
I don't care how good your intentions are or what you mean, or you might not even mean anything bad, but if you say anything other than what God tells you to do, it's automatically wrong. That's right. So that's what I learned this week. So let me give God praise for what is present right here. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then you know what? Something else happened. What have I been doing, Brother John? I've been backing it up and saying, how about, is there anything, Lord, you told me to do that I haven't done? He's not going to give you anything else to do until you do that first thing that he's done. It's a beautiful thing. So, you know, when I come up here and I raise my hands and I'm praising him, oh, yes, there's no short circuit in this. Let it go all the way through to the life, to whatever you do. Let me go ahead and say that about my healing. I'm healed. I'm healed.
Amen.
Because anytime I get up and I see a wiggly line or something that don't look right, I say, that's a lie.
Right.
That's a lie. Because, you know, what happens? We get lost in circumstances.
Yeah.
Every time I open my eyes, boom, there it is. But you know what? He told me, they said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not fail. So either it's a time, it's the hour. We either are, it either is or it isn't. And it is.
Amen.
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 Makes you grateful for the truth, you know. We're believers.
Oh, yeah, we are.
I can't do anything else but believe. I can't do anything else but speak the truth. It's just in me to do that. You know, and I love it because even when, you know, like Therese was talking, even when I do make those mistakes and I don't do what I should do, I got grace. God's full of mercy. He's easy to forgive. All he wants you to do is just turn around. It's not that, you know, it's not that hard at all. You know, but people get caught up in it, and you look at what we've got. We've got such a pearl of great price. Nobody's got it. You know, nobody sees it. They don't get it. And what I love about you, what you love about me, is the Word of God. It's the one thing. It's our one anchor that ties us all together. You may not like my hobbies. I may not like your hobbies. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But what I do love and what you do love is the Word of God. Because that's what gets us through. When Sisters Courtney bragging on Brother Jay, it's because Brother Jay's got the Word. It's leadership. It's headship. It's the way it works. It's pretty simple, you know. Because, you know, even as a man, you'll make decisions. And sometimes you think, okay, well, Lord, we'll see what happens, but God will always make it work out for you. He's obligated to. You trust in God, you believe in God, and God will make the rest of it work out for you. Just simply because of who you are. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that understanding, especially in the hour we live in, because it's such a, you know, it's full darkness. It's fullness of Satan on the scene. He's doing what he's doing. But that doesn't even, it's not even anything that I like to talk about too much, because I've got such a truth. I've got such a revelation. I've got such an understanding. I'm such an overcomer. You can't separate me from this. It's just simply who I am. It's my very walks, my very nature. I don't have to think about it or anything at all. It's just with every heartbeat. It's the word that comes out of me. It's who we are. And I'm grateful. God's given us such an opportunity in this hour. I mean, you look at it and we're doing something that's never been done before, brothers and sisters. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how God's going to change the molecules of my body, but it'll do it. It'll happen. I'm simply waiting on that last nod for God. Just give me the word, and I'll step out on it, and it'll be fulfilled. He brings it to pass in your life. That's how he vindicates it. That's how he manifests it. I don't only have just the word. I've got the manifested word. I can see God. I understand God. I pick up God when he talks to me. And that's such a blessing to have that nobody else even sees. This church world, don't rely on them. Oh, my God, they got nothing. You know, I was thinking about what Sister Moore said, and I thought what Brother Branham said about those Pharisees. He said they were sincere.
Sure.
But they're sincerely wrong. Oh, they had a lot of works. They had a lot of good things going for them. They had a nice, clean life, and they could point you to their life's living and all the works they've done, but it didn't mean a hill of beans to God. You know, like we was talking the other day, Brother Moore and I and June was talking, you know, it's just like, you know, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was just a scoundrel. He was a liar. He was a cheat. He was a rascal. He's a manipulator. He's all these things, but he had love for that birthright. Esau, on the other hand, looked like everything going right in his life. Hunter, manly man. He looked pretty clean and everything else, but the Bible said he loved Jacob. and he hated Esau. Before the children were yet born, yeah. Neither one of them even knowing right or wrong. They didn't even know right or wrong.
Right.
They weren't even born and being have an opportunity to manifest. And yet God knew one would have a love for that birthright. And he looked at us and he knew that I'd have a love for this birthright. That I, when the word crossed my path, that something on the inside of me would pick it up and say, Lord, that ain't nothing but the truth. And when I picked it up, I didn't know anything about anything about anything. Come a long way since then. I've picked up a whole lot of things in my life. I've had a whole lot of revelation, a whole lot of information, a whole lot of light being shined on me. And I'm grateful for that because I can stand solid on that. I'm like a tree planted by the water.
Oh, yeah.
I'm right where the fountain is. I've got water. It's right there. It's just in me. It flows out of me every time I open up my mouth. And I'm just as solid and deep-rooted as you can't even be budged. Can't even be moved. And I'm grateful for that. I appreciate God for that. I love God for that.
Amen.
Love His Word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to give God some praise.
Amen.
You know, I listen to all these sisters talk about their husbands, and I appreciate that.
Amen.
That's important.
Oh, beautiful.
You know, because we have real men in here that have governed us, and I appreciate it. And we get hit for that because we, you know, come subject to our husbands. But there's nothing sweeter, nothing more peaceful. The word is true. At least you're so right. When you talk to the kids, it just ties. You know, I just love what's said here. And, you know, I just was sitting back there, if God be God, serve him. Get up and praise him. Because he deserves a praise. And I just want to also give a praise report about my sisters.
Amen.
You know, I got on my sister's my chart today. She had a PET scan that said she had cancer. She had biopsies that said she had cancer. But on the 9th, she had some more tests done to stage the cancer, and everything is saying there's nothing there.
Amen.
So, you know, the doctors haven't told her that yet, but I believe it, and I'm going to stand on it before they talk to her. And I said, well, call your doctor, and she called, and she said, well, we never tested the left lung, and I thought, they just don't have an answer. They just don't have an answer. And then Darsha, you know, we had spoke the word, and I said, I believe you have no more strokes, because she was having these strokes, and she has white matter in her brain that's supposed to cause a lot of stroke. And she hasn't had one since that day. And I just thank God, because we don't major on those minors. We major on the word of God that comes from here. And I'm thankful, and I'm thankful for what we get and for the truth. I'm thankful I'm a believer. I'm thankful that every time that word comes forth, I say amen, amen. And not just say amen, I apply it. I appreciate that. And I, too, thank God for this wonderful word.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Amen.
He's good.
Amen. Let's sing page 44 in moments like these.
Right.
And we'll get him up. Sure, he's ready and nervous. Get out of the way so I can say something.
Yeah. Amen.
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 What a time.
song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. To sing another song before we get started. I was just thinking about Sister Teresa, and she would always sing, I thank you, Jesus, for you brought me such a mighty, mighty long way. You know, you hear the testimonies. Testimonies are talking about progress. You know, you can talk about in the natural how Brother Isaiah can say God brought him a long way from Hawaii to here. That's a long way in the natural, but I can look at my wife and see how where God's brought her. A mighty long way in the spiritual. I can look at my own life. That's good to see everybody else's progress. I'm happy for you. That's great. But I can look at my own life and see where God has brought me a mighty, mighty long way. And where has he brought me a mighty long way? Not with a job. Not with life, natural things. I'm talking about spiritual things. With a revelation. He's brought me a long way that I can hear the words of God and I understand them. See, that's a different thing. When you can understand the words of God, that's different than just hearing it. When you come here as a kid, you come here immature, you don't know. You come in here, you can be an adult and immature and don't know. But when you can hear the word of God and clearly articulate every word with an amen, that's a little different. Let's sing that. I thank you, Jesus. She would always start it, so help me out a little bit.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for you brought me such a mighty long way, a mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for you brought me such a mighty long way, a mighty...
One more time, hallelujah.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for you brought me such a mighty long way, a mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for you brought me such a mighty long way, mighty long way.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come here tonight and serve you in spirit and in truth. The Bible says when he that spirit of truth has come, he'll lead and guide you into all. And Lord, that's what you've been continually doing with this bride. And we come here humbly tonight knowing that you're going to speak to us. We expect it. We're coming here as believers, looking forward to the word of God to give us direction, to give us guidance. The brother said rebuke, chastisement, or encouragement, we want it all. Lord, we come here to be instant, in season, in and out. Thank you for this opportunity to come here. Lord, remember the prayer requests. Let us scotch our tires and stand right there as believers, whether it's for prayer requests for Brother Trevor, Sister Darsha, Sister Anna, Brother Lockett, whoever, Sister Clarice, her eyes. Lord, open up our eyes tonight that we can see you move in this many-member body. Lord, bless the services. Let it be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. I look forward to what God's going to do. I'm always nervous, and so I'm trying to pace myself a little bit and get into this thing. I come with something, and I come expecting, but if that's what he wants, then that's what we're going to get. But if he changes it, he changes it. Now, a couple announcements real quick. The 16th, we're going to be at Brother John's house. Brother John and Sister Don, they're opening up their home. Appreciate that. Let's be respectful. We know the rules of engagement when you go to somebody else's house. Respect it and take care of it. So we're looking forward to that. They have a beautiful home. We're looking forward to go there. That's on Friday. Then on the 25th, we're going to be doing church pictures. Do not be late. That is an italicized, exclamation points, underlined and bold. Do not be late. I'd hate for you to show up late and not be in the picture. That'd be a constant rebuke all year as you walk past that picture that you were late. So that would be, that's just, there it is. But then, and then in October, we're going to South Carolina. I'm looking forward to that. That's the weekend of the 15th. Looking forward to that. Then November the 20th, we're having our Thanksgiving here at the church. So looking forward to everything that he has. You know, it's been a busy year. You know, Pastor Moore said water in, water out in the beginning of the year. And that was in December. And I keep reminding him, I'm like, we went to San Diego this year. You know, it seems like it was so far away. It seems like it was years ago that we went to San Diego, but that was this year, and we've done a lot. There's been preachers here, preachers out. We've been going. We've done. We're going to continue to do that. I mean, that's what God said, but that's just an example of God vindicating his word by bringing it to pass. You know, now we can stand here in September and say, yeah, of course, water in, water out. But December 31st, it was how? What does that look like? What is water in? What is water out? But that's why I love when God vindicates something. Then it's not a secret anymore. Right. You know, when he gives it as a prophecy, it's in type, so to speak. Right. You know, it's almost in shadow form. It's even, you're only using the words that you know to use at that moment. Right. You know, like even in the Bible, they talk about woes or the prophecy, wars. But you didn't know the word to use, or even flying vehicles. And now we're seeing different things. And just, you see different prophecies with the person's using just the words that they know to use. Right. You know, at the time, God only revealed to him that water in, water out. But that was the word in and the word out. Yeah. Preaching in, preaching out. And now you can vindicate it and it's clearly seen. So we can still say water in, water out. But if you don't know what that is, it's still a mystery. Right. It's still a thunder to you. Yeah. It's still something you don't understand. But if you truly understand it, it's like Sister Elise said, well, bubble gum. Right. I've chewed bubble gum before. I know what that tastes like. So I can explain it only to somebody else that ate bubble gum. I can say, you know how your jaws get tired? And they're like, yeah, I know what you mean. If somebody that never ate it, they don't know what I'm talking about. They're like, what? Why don't you just swallow it? Because you can't. What? What do you mean? So, but I love that God brings things like that to pass. So I'm excited about what we got to preach tonight. You know, Brother June preached, and I appreciate that, brother, coming all that way to preach here for us. You know, a testament to Brother June said, you know, some of it, sometimes it can get lost in translation when he's talking so fast. And I, forgive me, I talk fast sometimes too. So, but, so I know that problem with that, you know, hard to understand me. But one of the things he said was that, you know, he had prayed to God that if he wasn't going to be welcome to preach somewhere, that he would just sit there. Right. He's like, Lord, I don't even want to preach if it's not going to be an open thing. I don't even want to face any adversity. Right. You know, I don't want to come with any controversy. He just wants to be able to just sit there. And so for God to vindicate that and bring him here where he preaches two services, it showed how open we were. It showed that God vindicated his prayer, because there was other churches that he went to that he probably didn't get to preach at. Right. And he got to come here and preach to us two times. So we're excited about that. I appreciate that. Amen. And it looks like Brother Covey's here. God bless you too. He preached here as well. Appreciate that, brother. I'm looking forward. Thank you for that. You know, we love that. You know, we love that. You know, and Brother June said something, and that's what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. Brother June was talking. You know, he preached a two-part message, but he talked about God's secrets in the church ages. And he came back and continued that thought on Sunday night. And one of the things he said that I'll talk about tonight as much as I can, he said, you know, Moses is the type of our prophet. You know, we don't write types all the way out. You know, you know when to get on and get off. But he said Moses was the type of our prophet. And he said the brothers over there in the Philippines were having a debate that Moses didn't get a chance to go into the promised land. And Brother June was like, well, he did and he didn't. Right? Yeah, he, so when you talk about Brother Branham, you know, so that's the type of our prophet. That's what he said. Brother Branham really was like Moses in that sense too, as well, because he didn't get to get into the promised land, so to speak, but he did, you know. So it's one of those things where he did, but he didn't, you know. So, let's read a scripture here over in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And I'm just reading these scriptures here and we'll go through it. And he says, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. And Moses went up to the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo and the top of Pachshas that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead and Dan and all the Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah and unto the utmost sea in the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of the palm trees unto Zoar. So he's showing him the promised land. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over there. So, brother, you know, so in that same type, you know, Moses, a vindicated prophet, he showed signs, wonders, miracles, delivered the people. He did what his job was to do. He delivered the people out of bondage, set them free, got them right there so they could cross over. And God showed him that promised land, showed him what it looked like. But Moses in the natural didn't get to go over to the promised land. Now, that's just a type. Now, obviously, we understand that the real promised land is getting to heaven. It's not Judea, it's not Jericho, none of that. It's nothing that man can tamper with. The real promised land is heaven. But in a type, that's really what happened to Brother Brian. So to speak, he got a chance to see what that promised land would be, but there was going to be another group that would go all the way. Now, just for a type as a reference, our Kadesh Barnea, so just to spell this out, there's a lot of terms I'm throwing out here for anybody that's new, whatever. Kadesh Barnea was the basically where the people got to and stopped, and the unbelievers didn't go on into the promised land, but the believers went over there. Now, for a reference, 1963 was Kadesh Barnea for the church world. That's when they got right up to the edge of where they could cross over into total freedom to the promised land that God had prophesied before, and they didn't go all the way. So that's the two groups that we're looking at. So, but what I love about that story is that's great to understand that in type and in theory, but talk about that group that went all the way. Tell me a little bit more about the rest of the story, because you can talk about Moses till I'm blue in the face, and I appreciate what Brother Branham did, I appreciate what Moses did, but talk a little bit more, get out of Deuteronomy and cross over into Joshua a little bit and talk about what that group did with the word of God, and now you're talking about me. See, because there is a group that was ordained, that was promised to get into the promised land, not just to see it, not just to hear about it, to go all the way. That's this group. And I love, you know what? I'm using the right word, group. There was a group that was ordained to go all the way. Because through the ages and all these different times, you're referencing one person that had it. Even when you talk about Brother Branham, it was one person that had it. It was one man that had it. When we talk about Jesus, it was one man that had it. But when you get to this time, it becomes a many-membered body. Matter of fact, that fruit can't even multiply, Brother Steve, until it goes in the ground and dies. Once it dies, then it can produce much fruit. Amen. You're looking at little Messiahs now. Now that's went in there and went through the ages, well, we're at a time period where there's a many-membered body. That's why I even love what Sister Clarice said, that she gets joy from hearing from the brothers, the testimonies from the deacons, from the elders, from the sisters. Why? It's a many-membered body. It should be like that in the end time. It should be a group of people that knows what it is when you talk about going into the promised land. There's a whole group of people that saw the promises, heard about this, heard about that, but some of them stopped. But I love talking about the people that didn't. Because even when you talk about what Joshua had to do, Joshua was told to be courageous, to be long-suffering. Joshua was told that everywhere you put your foot, I'm going to be with you and I'll take care of you. Joshua was told that just as you followed Moses, I'll be with you. Just as we follow Brother Branham, he will be with us. Everywhere we step our foot, that's where he's calling our land. That's where we can set our atmosphere, set our environment. It's greater than Solomon is here now. See, on one hand, I understand that, you know, I don't want to lose sight of what's going on right now. I don't want to lose sight that this is the promised land. You know, we're on holy ground right now. You know, right now we're on holy ground. I even got a term in here where I talk about this is the golden age. This really is the golden age. You know, let me get to a quote here because I want to make sure I tie this in. Because you got to even know what a golden age means. You know, Brother Branham referenced it several times when he was preaching. But let's talk about what a golden age is. Because why did he say he wanted to live in that golden age? What is a golden age, Brother Jay? Let's go over here and read this here. This is over here. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So now, just for reference, in Solomon's day, that was considered a golden age. When Solomon was on the scene, Solomon was one of the wisest men. He had just tons of blessings that were overflowing because of his knowledge and his wisdom. But that was considered a golden age because Solomon was a gift to the people. Amen. And the people accepted the gift of God. Amen. When you accept the gift of God, that is considered a golden age. Amen. When all the people are able to accept it. But when you can't accept the gift of God, it becomes a chaotic age. Hopefully you're tracking that with me. So when you have the ability to have a group of people fully accept the gift of God, that is the golden age. So let's go over here and read this quote here. This is, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I'm going to read this quote because that turns me on. He says, then here he goes on to say about that God, through all generations, folks, whenever God sends a gift to the earth and the people receive it, that's a golden age for that generation. And when they reject it, it's chaos for that generation. Amen. We've accepted the gift of God. Amen. It's the golden age. Let's go over here to the invisible union. Okay. See, these run, like you said, Sister Elise, they run, they tie. This is Brother Branham over in the invisible union, paragraph 32. He said, I'm thankful to God to be living in this time of the closing scenes of this world's history. I don't know if I would have had to say so before the foundation of the world, and if God would have laid it out, the whole program to me, and said to me, I want you to preach, and now what age do you desire to go to the earth to preach? Now, Brother Branham's saying, he said, I'm going to paraphrase this. He's saying, if God would have laid out the whole plan to him and showed him every different age, what age would you have desired to preach, Brother Branham? If you had your choice to pick any age, when would you want to preach, Brother Branham? He said, I would have chosen this age, for this is the golden age. See, it, when you truly see what it is, let's go over to the paragraph 32. He said, I certainly would have loved to have been here during the time of his visit. Saying, I would have loved to have been here when Jesus was here. That would have been a great time. But still, I think this right now is greater time. Greater time? What do you mean, Brother Jay? Well, how is it greater? What makes it more? What makes it greater? Is it greater works will you do? Oh, see how it ties? See how it runs? He says, but I certainly would have loved to have been here during the time of his visit to the earth. But still, I think this right now is a greater time because it's a time that he's coming to take the people, the group again, that he's redeemed. Oh, see, everything comes together here. Nearing the resurrection when all redeemed will come forth. What a glorious opportunity we have to speak to a dying people. Great time. We are enthused about it. Yes, we are, Brother Branham. We're enthused about it. Why? Because we can see what nobody else can see. We know what nobody else knows. I'm in the promised land now. Oh, it's flowing with milk and honey now. Oh, the grapes are the size of watermelons now. I'm coming here and eating freely from the tree of knowledge. Oh, God has been blessing this group abundantly. See, I don't come in. We live in the excess. See, this world will try to have you down in the dumps and depressed and all that. No, I'm living in the overflow. Yes. Oh, I got so much, I'm giving it away. Yes. I'm blessed so much, I'm not like a squirrel waiting and hoping. Oh, I got so much, I can give it away freely. Oh, I freely pray for my neighbor. I freely have grace. I freely understand everybody. I don't have no quarrel with this. Matter of fact, I even know where my place is. You know, I even liked how even Brother June said it. He said, I'm just bringing you 1%. If you want to reduce it down to whatever, if you don't believe me for this and that, I'm just bringing you to 1%. I'm the armpit of the body, is what Brother June said. I'm just a pinky. I'm just a pinky. If you don't listen to all that, that's all right. I know I'm one of them. I know I'm part of the body. If you want to reduce me to whatever you want to reduce me, I don't care. I don't mind. I know what I know. I'm just a part of the body. If I'm just bringing you 1%, you need me to be 100. If I'm just bringing you just a little bit, you need me to get through. You need the word of God that I'm bringing you to make this all tie. It don't even make sense unless I break it down for you. See, that's how bold you got to speak. You know, even Brother June, he said, and I hope the brother knows we appreciate him. He said, I'm a hunter. This is a story he was telling. Brother June was saying, I'm a hunter. When somebody tells me something scary, that makes me want to go there. When somebody tries to intimidate me, that makes me stand up a little bit more. You know, me and Brother Jim are fighters. We're fighters. Somebody says something little off color, that gets me excited. Just talking in the natural. I get excited because I'm like, oh yeah, there's another opportunity. I want to show them what I'm made of. I know what I'm made of. I just want to show you what I'm made of. Put me against whatever you got. I'm going to show you that I'm ready to overcome. That's even what happened to David. David was a hunter too. David saw the Philistine and said, how dare you make fun of my God, this uncircumcised Philistine? Let me at him. Whoa, hold on, David. Let's get you some armor. Hold on, David. Let's get you something. This don't fit. I just need what I already used before on the bear. On the lion. I'll go down here and do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine because I know what I got. I'm not intimidated by any other message. I'm not intimidated by any other gospel. I'm not intimidated when somebody tells me about another prophet. I'm not intimidated when they tell me that they got their theophany in them right now. I'm not intimidated when they tell me they're living in their glorified right now. I'm not intimidated when they don't want to read the book of Revelations. I'm not intimidated when they want to try to stun me with words and valor and all this other stuff. None of that bothers me at all. Let me see what you do with the word when I start sliding across your path. If you say anything other than yay and amen, I'll know there's no God in you. Yeah, see, I can spot it. I know how to check the tracks. When you're a hunter, you can check the tracks. I know what I'm tracking when I'm looking for something. I can see how you're walking. I can see if, you know what, if you're really a hunter, you can see when the animal's hurt. You can see in his tracks that he's limping. You can see that he's weak a little bit. You see it. You see the gate in the snow or in the sand. You can see those things. That's how it feels when I shoot you with this gospel gun. And I see you start limping a little bit. I see you can't take it a little bit. I see it gets a little hot for you. See, this got to get hot in here. Oh, I'll tell y'all a little natural story. You know, when you got boiling water can do a lot of different things to a lot of stuff. Just three examples here. If you got an egg and you got some boiling water, it's going to make that egg hard. You got some potatoes, got some boiling water, it's going to make that potato soft. That's the make-believer and unbeliever. But I'm coffee beans. Put me in some boiling water. Oh, just let me sit in there a little bit. I'm going to change the water. I'm going to change everything. I'll make it smell so sweet and fragrant. Just pour it on me. When it gets hot in here, let it come on. Keep on raining. It don't bother me at all. See, everything else, the water stays the same. But with me, I change the water. See, that's that. We're a different breed right now. When we walk into a room, we change the room. I step into a job place, I change the job. When I step into a city, I change the city. And tonight, when I step into a church, I change the church. That's how we all gotta believe. Well, I need you to sing. I need you to testify. You gotta be here. Oh, how can I preach unless somebody else to receive it? And how can you receive it unless it's be preached? See, you need me and I need you. Oh, my. See, Joshua was a little bit of a different breed. When Joshua got the instructions to go over to the promised land, he wasn't wandering in the wilderness, not knowing when he was going to head over. That wasn't what Joshua got. Joshua had a date and a time. Joshua had, hey, this is it. Playing time is over. You guys are getting ready to head in there. Get everybody together. Get ready.
That's what's happening this hour. Hey, no more playing now. We can't wander around in darkness no more. We're not groping in darkness no more. We're not trying to walk around till everybody die off. You ain't got time now. Oh, no. It's time to get ready now. Joshua, matter of fact, looked over and said, hey, we're going to be going over there in about a couple days. Now, as that story goes on, it goes and talk about how Rahab, the spies went over in the land and talked to Rahab. That's another subject. We can go into that, but it just shows that the Bible runs. It just shows that everything ties in together. But we're in this promised land tonight. You know, because I never want to take it lightly that you get the word of God preached to you at every single service. It is literally changing your dimensions. Pastor Moore even said it Sunday night. He said, I'm not waiting for the rapture. The rapture's going on right now. God is changing us at every single service. We're getting our faith built up even more and even more. The molecules of our body, so to speak, are changing. Amen. To get out of here. Amen. What's going on? My mind is getting better. Yeah. I'm able to pick up God quicker. Yeah. I'm able to see God faster. I'm able to touch my brothers and sisters differently. Everything about me is changing. Oh, when I didn't know it was time to go, I thought I had time to play around. I thought I had time to walk around in circles for 40 years. I thought I had time to wait for this to fall off, wait for that to fall off. No, now I got a date now. God said, this is the last voice to the last age. There'll be nobody after you. Oh, my. See, there was a time when they died hoping. Matter of fact, I want to say it a different way. Let me say it different. They died believing. They died believing that they would be in the resurrection. Even when they were at the tomb of Lazarus, they said, Jesus, we know there's going to be a great resurrection. We believe that there's going to be a great resurrection. But saints, let me turn over to Thessalonians. Hold on. Because there's got to be a different group. Yes, sir. There's a group that dies believing. But there's got to be a group that's alive believing. Amen. And that's over in Thessalonians Thessalonians 1, 4 through 17. Then we, see a group again, which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. With them in the clouds. In the clouds, just a little bit higher. Just a little bit higher. Amen. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
That's right.
See, this group is a little different. They died believing.
Right.
We get the benefit.
Right.
We get the unmitigated goal to understand that we are going to be alive when Christ returns. Do you know what that means? That means it's only a couple days now. He said man's life is just a few days and full of trouble. And if that means I'm going to get out of here while I'm alive, that means we only got a few days left. Time to get ready. See, the church want to have you thinking that you don't know when the day's coming. The church want to have you thinking that you got time to play around. The church want to have you thinking you got hundreds of years to wait for this. No. I'm ready for the Lord's return tonight.
Tonight.
I'm ready tonight. I don't got to get ready. I am ready. I stay ready.
Yes.
I'm waiting on the Lord. Oh, my. Even Brother Branham said it. He said, I don't see any other scripture left to fulfill. The rapture can come at any moment.
Yes.
That's what we're waiting on.
Amen.
See, you know, and that brother even said something else. He said, don't let this world desensitize you. You know, so when that happens, we've seen it in the natural. And I'll talk about the natural real quick, and then I go to the spiritual. In the natural, we've seen violence just for the last 15, 20 years. We're so desensitized to it. If four people got shot, it probably wouldn't even make the news.
No.
Got to be, what, five or more? Right. Be mass? That's how desensitized we are.
Right.
You know, things on TV.
Right.
TV first came out, it was select channels,
right.
Select things, and they was trying to be a wholesome image.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, Brother Branham was against it.
Amen.
He knew what was coming.
Yes, sir.
He saw the dimensions that they were tapping. Because they said TV's been around. He saw the dimensions. He saw what was going to be coming on those screens. And he was against it. He was deaf to it.
Amen.
But even on TV, talk about that. It used to be a time that as it progressed, worse shows would come on at night. And he was like, let's just try to be a little bit modest.
Right.
Let's wait till the kids are at least asleep.
Right.
Now it's like, they are a little bit older. Maybe if we just put a parental guidance in the beginning of the show, they'll turn it off.
Yeah.
Now it's like, all hands off. There's no kid shows anymore.
kids shows are adult shows, and adult shows are adult shows. It's just it just shows that the desensitized. So even as people, we just are so. What you let your kid watch 20 years ago, you would have thrown your TV out the door. You would have broken. But that's in the natural. But think about it in the spiritual. You know, we had our brother Eric here. He came and told us a story about how God opened up his eyes and let him see in those other dimensions when he went to that house. I don't want to be so desensitized that all the liars out in the world that talk about all the visions that they see, that I don't appreciate that vision. Amen. That I don't say, thank God that he showed you that. Amen. He hasn't opened up the dimensions to me, but let me sit at your feet and share the story with me. Why don't you tell me how you saw it? Tell me how you felt. Let me open up my minds. Let me open up my heart and not be so carnal and so desensitized to God moving that I just skip right over it. Or when my sister gets up and talks about how cancer's not even here anymore, that I'm just not so carnal and so desensitized that I don't appreciate God when he shows a blessing right in front of your eyes. Oh my goodness, if cancer can be healed for somebody that don't even go to church, how much more should I expect God? Amen. Expect God to move when I speak. Amen. Oh, and she hopes God hears her. I know God hears me. She hopes she's in the will of God. I know I'm in the will of God. You see, there's a little bit of a difference there. I approach to God boldly because I know who he is. She's groping in darkness hoping that God answers her prayers. Praise God for Sister Dawn that knows where God is, that can speak for her, that can act on her behalf. But I don't need no intercessory. I don't need no mediator. I don't need no filter. I want this unadulterated truth every moment of my life. That's a little different. Don't tell me about the promised land. Let me eat the grapes for myself. Don't tell me about how the milk is overflowing. Let me drink it for myself. Don't tell me about God showing for myself. Amen. You can have God in you, and that's great, but he needs to be in me before I'm satisfied. Amen. That's my expectation when I come here. I come for a full understanding on every word of God. I don't want anything to go over my head. See, I always say it, and I like to remind you, you can't learn to swim watching me. Can't. You can watch the Olympics, somebody winning the gold medal, swimming super fast. You can watch that all day. You'll never learn to swim that way. You can come to the pool. Watch me jump on in. You'll never learn to swim that way. You can come to church. There we go. Let's get real now. You can come to church. Sit here and watch me enjoy myself. You can come here and watch me just get full of the Spirit and never pick it up. You're going to have to jump in for yourself, bub. You're going to have to just let go and let God for yourself. You don't even know what faith is like. Oh, you look at me and you marvel at my faith. I know you do. Because God's been good to me. You got to. You done seen him move in my life. You done seen me trust him. See, I like to talk like that when Satan wants to make me doubt something. When things are going the worst, I want to speak louder. When things are not going my way, I want to remind him that it's not even lawful to tempt me. I want to remind him that if I wanted to, I could take over this whole place. But God has moved so much in my life because I've been able to trust him. When God says to jump, I just keep jumping until he tells me to stop. I don't even care how high. He knows my limitation. Just keep going until he tells me to stop. If he wants me to rest, he'll tell me to rest. If he wants me to go a little bit faster, tell me to speed it up. I just trust him. You know, Pastor Moore shared some stories about my life, and that we were all there. You know God moved. You can't tell me he didn't. I know God moved. But that was beautiful. God moved on what Pastor Moore said onto my life. I took those words and I trusted it. But you know, that's beautiful and I appreciate that. But some other times that I appreciate even more is when I'd pray for like my wife and I'd say, Lord, I want this to be moved. Yes. Knowing that I'm the only one making that prayer. Right, knowing I'm testing out that God that's in me. I'm testing out that God that's in me to see what happens. Oh, I remember sitting there praying for my friend, Brother John. I love bringing this up because, oh, I know y'all were praying. I know y'all were believing. But I remember sitting in the car just saying, Lord, that's my friend. I want him healed. I want him back. You're trying to take him too early. I'm rebuking that. I'm not cashing that check. I want him healed. He gets healed. I'm looking around saying, that's because I prayed. Amen. Oh, you might get up and go, I know I prayed. I'm like, oh, you might have prayed. Oh, you might have believed. But I know I did. I know what I prayed for. I know what I called for. That you do the same thing as a parent with your kids. You do the same thing in your life. But that's that God, and you got to start exercising that. You got to start squeezing that a little bit. You got to start walking around and realizing where you're at. You got to understand that this is holy ground. You come into this sanctuary, it's holy ground when you come in here.
That's why you should treat it with the utmost respect.
Amen.
Your brothers and sisters need to be treated with the utmost respect.
Amen.
They're carrying God.
Amen.
So I don't want to be desensitized. Because we got a promise.
Amen.
That this group is going to prophesy again.
Right.
Over in Revelation 10 and 8. It says we must prophesy again.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to take that lightly. We got to prophesy again. That's what God said to do.
Amen.
See, I don't want to let no circumstance distract us.
Amen.
Not at all. Now, I want to think about this. Brother Branham already said what age he'd want to live in.
Right.
Brother Branham said what age he'd want to preach in. But do you know what age you're in? It's not enough to understand. You know, we come here all the time. You see the ages.
Right.
Some people are in Paul's age. Some people are in Irenaeus' age. Some people are still in the Lutheran age in their mind. Some people are in the Wesley age in their mind. What age are you in?
Right.
Have you stepped out of time?
Oh.
Are you in the eighth day?
Yeah.
Are you out of darkness?
Come on.
Because there's an age of people that are in total darkness.
Right.
And on the inverse of that, there's a group that's in total light.
Yeah.
Where are you at? Are you still struggling with what God says? Do you still not understand what he's saying? Are you like those children of Israel that were murmuring and complaining the whole time? Or are you like Joshua that says, I will follow the same God that was with Moses is the same God that's in me. I will step out on the word of God at every time.
Amen.
That's a little different. See, those people that followed murmuring and complain, they never made it over. You got to be able to go all the way. See, we're in, you know, because to recognize what age you're in, you'll start to address God the right way.
Amen.
You know, there's a story over in Matthew chapter 15. Don't remember the exact verse, but the lady is approaching Jesus. And she just wants her daughter healed. A sincere mother. She wants her daughter healed. Her daughter has demons on her. And she says, Son of David, help me. Ignores her. He said, I didn't come for you. Lord, Son of David, help me. I'm not here for you. Now, we understand the sonships. We understand that there's a Son of God. That's an unseen force. You got the Son of David. But the most important one is when you got the Son of Man ministry. At that time, Jesus was the Son of Man ministry. You got to approach him the right way to get what you want. Matter of fact, he even goes into that. He gave her a parable. He's like, I don't even have bread for you. That's what he goes and tells her. You can read the story. And she's like, well, just give me some of the crumbs then. I'll just take some of the crumbs then. I'm just like a dog. Just give me some of the crumbs. Yeah, I want the whole loaf. I ain't come here for crumbs tonight. I got problems that need the whole loaf. I got things that I need the whole thing. I'm approaching God right. I'm coming in the Son of Man ministry saying, Lord, Lord, help me. Help me. Help my unbelief. Help get me stronger. Help give me the words of encouragement. Help build up my faith so we can get out of here. Because I know I only got one job to do, and that's to get out of here. That's the only job I have to do. I'm going to read one last quote here, and I'm going to get out of you guys' way. I love what God's doing here.
Amen.
See, I love it when God just brings the word.
Amen.
You know, we get so much in here. See, that I mentioned this. I said, you know, 1963 was Kadesh Barnea. That's when Brother Branham took a turn. That's when the message took a turn to say, hey, matter of fact, he even said, he's like, if I'm going to do anything for the Lord, I got to do it now. Yeah. This is a man's been preaching 30, 40 years. He had been one of the most vindicated prophets, had done all these different things. He said, if I'm going to do anything, I got to start now. Matter of fact, at one point in time, he said, we've come as far as we can.
That's right.
In the written word,
yeah.
There's got to be something else.
Yeah.
Well, we've come, you know, Moses, eventually, hey, I've walked in circles as long as I can. They're starting to figure out that we're going in circles, Lord. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to cross over. The crossover's happened. We've already crossed over. I'm in the promised land now. I'm not waiting at Kadesh Barnea for the answer. I'm not waiting for this to happen. It's going on right now. So over in Christ the Mystery, Pastor Moore reads this quote a lot, and I found the quote, and I was excited about reading it to you guys, and I'm going to read it here. This is Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. I even love the title. That's a good title. Paragraph 240 says, the new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. Amen. See, when he's revealed it, it's no longer a mystery. That's a new birth. That's the most important thing to get, saints. Yes. Now, what are you going to do?
Right.
Hold on now. This is Brother Branham here. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together?
Yeah.
See, golden age, time right together, where the revelation is in perfect harmony.
Right.
See, when something's in perfect harmony, it just dovetails together. Even when you're talking about music, if somebody's singing in the wrong key, that's not perfect harmony. If you're playing in the wrong note, that's not perfect harmony. It's when we're all playing the same song and we're all playing the right note, that's perfect harmony. He says, when you get all that group together, where, and it's even a question mark there, where he goes, when you get that group together, Brother Branham basically saying it's not going on at that moment, where the revelation is in perfect harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things he did, making the word manifest. Oh, see, here we go, Brother Branham, recognizing what's going on. Oh, if the church only knew its position. See, now that's in 1963. If the church only knew its position. See, that's why we can use that type of Moses. Brother Branham looking over saying, oh my goodness, the promised land's right there. If you just only knew your position.
Amen.
He said, if the church only knew its position. Let me get here. Let me read this. It will one day. It will one day. Today, this scripture is fulfilled before your very eyes. Oh, I love it. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Oh, we know what it is now. Oh, we can see it. Now the rapture can go. Now this thing can go. This is in perfect harmony. We're standing on holy ground. We can see it for ourselves.
Amen.
See, before when they sent over spies, we just had to take the word of the messenger. We just had to take the word of the prophet. We just had to take the word of the Bible.
Amen.
But when you cross over to the promised land, you can see it for yourself. I don't need you to describe what it's going to be. I don't need you to describe what understanding feels like. I don't need you to just describe what a revelation is. I don't need you to describe the seven church ages. I don't need you to describe the seven seals. I see it for myself. See, that's a little different. Oh, my. See, then the rapture will go. I believe that time is now.
Amen.
The rapture's at hand. It's going on right now. And there's a group of people. See, I don't even want to, this is a group, but there's a many-membered body across the world that knows what it is. See, we've not seen that even more this year. God's bringing in people to say, that vindicates that this message is moving. That vindicates that this message is moving. I love to see my brother from the Philippines, from Africa, from Troy, from Lima, wherever. I love to see brothers that knows what it is. That lets me know that the rapture can take place. Oh, see, so often we get so desensitized and go, oh, it's not that many people here. Not that many people there. I don't care. The pyramid gets smaller when you go up to the top. It gets smaller when you go up to the top. As a matter of fact, we were there. The brother was talking about how when God turns his corner, if you're at the bottom of the pyramid, it's big. It takes a long time before you get to that next corner.
Yeah.
Takes a long time before you get to that next corner. But you go up the pyramid a little bit.
Yeah.
We start turning corners quicker and quicker and quicker.
Yeah.
You can't keep up now.
Yeah.
Oh, if you don't know what it is, I'll throw you off at every turn. But we understand the terms. We understand the scriptures. We understand the quotes. We know when to get in. We know when to get off. I see it. I know every man I meet.
Amen.
See, he said, can I hide anything?
Amen.
Oh, I even love how that scripture says. He said, can I hide anything from my friend?
Right. Oh, my goodness.
I even like how he said that. Can I hide anything from my friend?
Yeah.
Oh, I got some good friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell them a lot of stuff. Yeah. But I got a wife. Oh, I tell her a lot more than I tell my friends.
Amen.
So even when he was talking to Abraham and saying, can I hide anything from my friend? A greater than Abraham is here now.
Amen.
It's the bride on display with the full authority.
Amen.
It's deity on our lips right now.
Amen.
See, this thing has got to be real to you, or you won't even pick it up. You'll say, why are you so excited? Because I know what it is.
Amen.
Oh, well, what is it? I can't tell you. What is it? Can you tell me how you got it? I can't tell you. Can you tell me what day you picked it up? I can't tell you. I can just tell you there was a time I didn't know, and now I know.
Amen.
There was a time I didn't see it, and now I see it.
Amen.
There was a time when the colors were foggy, and now they're crystal clear. There was a time when it was in hazy, and now it's in HD. I don't know what happened. God did this to me.
Yes, sir.
You need to pray to the person that gave it to me to give it to you.
Amen.
Then you can see why I'm happy.
Amen.
Then you can see why I sing.
Yeah.
Oh, my, my, my. Brother Steve, you did my heart good when you preached on Wednesday, on Sunday night. Oh, my, to be able to break down the ages that quick. That's how long it should take to work down the seven church ages. That's how long when you got a clear understanding. I can make this thing tie from cars to corn to wheat to grass to trees to my life to my body to my kids. I can make this thing tie when you know what it is. But if you don't know what it is, you might need to go study a little bit. When you don't know what it is, you might need a couple of nights. When you don't know what it is, you might need some books. When you know what it is, you got to go back to whatever. But when you know what it is, oh, I can break it down in simple English to you now. I praise God for this truth. I praise God for this church. God bless you.
And the church says, who has it better than us?
Nobody.
I can't let that go, Jay. That's Jay's thing. That's Jay's line. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
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 My goodness.
Oh my goodness.
The golden age.
Amen.
You know, you look at what we've got, and nobody's had it like we've got it. Nobody could answer and tie this thing like we can tie it. I was thinking tonight when we got to church, I thought, you know what? Our church is just big enough to enjoy each other, but small enough to stay under the radar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here we are feasting at the king's tables, eating the best there is. That people have no idea what's going on inside these doors.
Amen.
Well, we're like fat hogs walking out of here. It's like, my. It's like eating at one of those restaurants. This little hole in the wall. Nobody wants to go there because it doesn't look good on the outside. But you know what? They got the best food. That's what I think when I think of Fairborn. I said, on the outside, people don't want nothing to do with us. But when you get in these doors, you'll see this place is full of big grapes.
Amen.
Big fruit.
Amen.
We're actually in the land.
Amen.
Brother Branham asked God, because he said, Lord, I'm calling all these people out of all these denominations. And he said, where am I going to take them?
Yeah.
He knew he was Moses, and he knew he was leading them.
Yeah.
And the angel told him, said, take them back into the Word.
Yes.
The Word is the land.
Amen.
And here we are sitting. Now, when we were going through the wilderness, we guessed what was going on in the land.
Amen.
Matter of fact, when the spies went over there, the spies went over there and they told them about the grapes. And they brought the grapes back and they told them about the giants. And the unbelievers are out there looking from a distance and, oh, I wouldn't go to that church.
Yeah.
I don't do it. Those people are crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, but Joshua and Caleb's like, hey, y'all need to go see this land for yourself. Because
yeah.
If you saw what I saw, you wouldn't be worrying about those giants.
Amen.
Because the same God that told us to leave Egypt is the same God that told us to go into the land.
Amen.
And here Moses was leading them all the way through. Brought them right up to their golden age.
Yeah.
I like the way you said that, Jay. He said, God doesn't take an individual into the land. He takes a group. And I was thinking about that. I said, that's amazing. When he went and led captivity captive, he didn't just come and take one person. He took a group.
Right.
Took them out of hell and put them in sixth dimension.
Right.
When he took them out of Egypt, now, God could have slayed them all and just took Joshua and Caleb in.
Yeah.
But God wasn't just after two people.
No.
He needed a group.
Amen.
So he walked them around for 50 years.
Yeah.
Oh, did I get the number wrong?
No, come on.
Walked us around for 50 years to get a group of people on the scene that could believe the whole report.
Amen.
I'm not stuck on Brother Branham's signs and wonders. I'm not stuck on what he had before the seals. I'm not stuck on trying to figure this thing out and trying to make it run and trying to make it fit with my thinking. I'm on the new generation.
Come on.
Because you got to remember, Moses had to walk around to kill off all the unbelief. Oh, at one time there was three kinds of believers. At one time they had to use that quote.
Yeah.
You know, there's three kinds of believers in every group. The prophet said.
Keep walking.
Keep on walking.
Yeah.
Because you know what? All those old heads are gone. Blessed is he that did not see, but yet believe. We are stronger than the people who sat in Branham Tabernacle in 65. We are stronger than the people who saw him heal the sick and raise the dead.
Amen.
Here we are, a new generation.
Yeah.
In our golden land, our golden age.
Amen.
Now God's not just doing this with one prophet or with just one person.
No.
He's after a group.
Yeah.
Because he's going to take this group back. What do you do?
Yeah.
When you get that group together, when the whole group is in the golden age, not just the prophet, but the entire body is in the golden age. We know what it is now. We know what to do with the word. We know how to balance everything.
Amen.
When they got to the upper room, there were three types of believers. There's only one. When you get to the golden age, there's not three kinds of believers. Everybody that went into the promised land were believers.
Yes.
We're still trying to pick our turn. Oh, this one doesn't live good. This one has a problem. This one's short here. That one's not going to make it. Oh, I pray this one in. And we're still trying to separate in the church and trying to figure out who's worthy to go and who's not worthy. And God had to walk us around for 50 years. Till we can look at each other right.
Amen.
Till we can look past your faults and your problems and your shortcomings. Realizing you're in the golden age.
Yeah.
You're in the land of the promise.
Yeah.
God brought us into his word, and now the word can do whatever it wants with us.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
When the believers walked in the land, they weren't still trying to figure out, is this the right place? Joshua and Caleb's like, I want my mountain.
Yeah.
I want my mountain.
Yeah.
I've been waiting on this thing. I'm ready for it.
Ready.
And everybody else, when they got in that land, they all scattered because they were in the land.
Yeah.
I don't care where in the world you go now.
Yeah.
We can possess it all.
Yeah.
We can eat it all. We can preach from any part of it. Yeah. I might go over to Revelation. You might go over to Matthew. Somebody else might go to John. We're in the land, people.
Yes.
We can go anywhere in that land we want to, and we can see it all.
Amen.
They wonder why we know what we know. We're in the land.
Yes.
It's the golden age.
Amen.
Not just for the prophet, but this is the golden age for the bride.
Amen.
No, I don't know if I'm good enough. I'm not living up to it. I got this problem. I got. Do you know what? They went in the promised land with problems. They still had problems.
Yeah.
The next generation had problems.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else.
Right.
But you know what? They went in the land. Joshua, when he was leading them, that's the Holy Ghost, you know. When Joshua got hold of the people, he said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. As he was with our prophet, so is he with us. That's why we stand there. Do y'all realize? We're talking about cancer. We're talking about sickness. We're talking about problems.
Yeah.
We're talking about on and on and on and on. And we're like, oh, that ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Give me some more word.
Yeah.
we didn't dance around Dawn's testimony tonight, though it was good and it was great, and thank God for healing cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're like, yeah, now bring on some word. Get us back into the land. Because that's a minor compared to what you're feasting on right now. This is telling you exactly who you are. This is telling you who you belong to. This is what's putting rapture and faith in skin.
Thank you, Lord.
And everybody else is just trying to run around trying to figure it out. I ain't trying to figure it out no more.
No.
I know what it is.
Right.
People ask me the answers.
That's right.
Why? Because I'm in the land.
Yeah.
When you're in the land, I can tell you where the well is.
Yeah.
I can tell you where the church is. I can tell you where the castle is.
Yeah.
I can tell you where the mountain is.
Yeah.
I can tell you where the valley is. I'm in the land.
Yeah.
When you're not in the land, you're still asking questions.
Yeah. Right.
When you're still asking questions, like, need to walk around the land a little bit, people. Get to know the land. Get to know what we're living in, what we're living in. Get to know the age that we're in. We are in the golden age of the bride. And God's pulled us in as a group. Oh, you say, well, God saves the Gentiles as individuals. The first thing your new birth does is take your individualism, throw it out the window, and tie it to a body.
Amen.
You are nothing without the rest of the body. They without us. And us without them. Cannot be made perfect. I need my right arm, my left arm, my foot, my head, my eyes, my teeth, my mouth. I need every part of my body. There's not a part of the body that we can do without. Now, if this is the body, there's not a part of this body we can do without.
Amen.
Oh, there was a time we picked on each other, chickens, and you know how we did. Picked. Oh, this is Jace got problems. Just pick a sore on him. But when you realize this is your body,
right.
It's you. That's like me just taking my skin and just tearing it, just keep ripping it until I just make sores, until it gets worse. It should hurt you to do that.
Right.
It hurts me to hurt Jay. Should. It hurts me to insult you. It hurts me to feel like you aren't getting it. It hurts me to feel like you don't, you know, it's a body. We're not dealing with three kinds of believers. Yeah, we dealt with that, but I'm not dealing with three. The unbeliever will leave this place. The make-believer can't stay in this place. And the true believer can't leave this place. So I'm not trying to separate us anymore. I want all of us. I told the congregation years ago, I said, my entire congregation, I'm taking you all with me.
Right.
Oh, I got criticized. I got talked about. How can you say you're taking everybody with you? The people I'm taking with me are still here. Those critics who said I couldn't take them aren't here because they're not going. They didn't believe enough to believe I could take them. But we're in the land. This is the golden age. God is in his people. He's not just in his prophet, but he is in his people. And now we are in an age, there should not be another age that you feel like you want to live in. Church, if you could choose any age, any time to live, what day would you choose? Oh, would you rather walk the shores of Galilee with Jesus? You want to go up to the upper room? You want to be with Paul as he talks and preaches? You want to be with a Luther when he tacks the theses on the door? What age would... There has never been a day like this day. Oh, we're going to sing that as we close. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day. This glorious, glorious day. This glorious day. Church, what time would you want to live? Why are you down and out? Why do you sometimes feel like, well, I don't know if I can make it? How could you not make it with what we have now? How could you feel like you need to get anything more than what we've got right now? What other land are you going to go into that flows with milk and honey like what we have going right now? What other hour are you going to live in when God's answering your prayers? He's talking to you face to face. He's dealing with you and he's walking you through the land and showing you everything in that book.
Amen.
Why would you want anything else? How could you look anywhere else? Oh my, come on, musicians. We gotta close. Look at that. I was gonna sing this song. I kid you not. It's I know, I didn't even open it, was laying there. Page 13. I was getting ready to go find it. And I looked down and I about turned the page, but then my eye said, did you just see that? Right there. There's never been a day. It's sitting there the whole time. God's trying to talk to us, church. You say, oh, there's nothing to that. Oh, don't be so. How'd you say it, Jay? Don't let this stuff be desensitized that you can't recognize God. God chose that song. I didn't even choose it. You say, oh, that's nothing. The same way he chose that song is the same way he chose you. Same way he chose you is the same way he's already chosen the day that our bodies are going to change. Oh, don't despise the day of small things. Don't look in God and think it's no big deal. This is the hour that we've been waiting on. This is the day that this bride of all ages has been looking for. This golden age. Oh my, the world don't want this no more. They don't get it. And I can't let it go. It has me. My, don't miss God, people. Don't miss the day and hour that you're living in. Oh my. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day. I see there has never been a light that shines this glorious day. So what are you going to do, church? What are you going to do with this life? We will walk in the light. It's such a beautiful life. Come where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Forget it! Like this.
Love.